Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan.
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
We've made it to Friday.
Yeah, we have.
Congratulations, folks.
We did it.
Welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I am Brian. That over there is Luke. Luke is in the Solidarity Realty Studios, broadcasting to you on 1580 AM, as that's WTTN, as well as Devil Radio 92.7. I'm over here in Waukesha on 540 AM, WAUK, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw.
Yeah, you're killing it. Killing it, Brian. Pulling down the fort there in the Shaw. And you got some fun programming coming up.
That's breath control, guys.
You got some fun programming coming up on the Shaw this evening. We got some Friday Night Live going on. Friday Night Live going on in the Shaw later tonight. So that's going to be a fun first kickoff of the summer in the Shaw. And looking
forward
to hearing all
about it. Beautiful downtown
Waukesha,
right here in Guitar Town.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mr. Crudy will be... available to be talked to. Also, Jim Santel will be in town. We're also going to launch at the Farmer's Market tomorrow. Don Brown's going to be doing a show at 8 o'clock. And then Jim Santel launches his show, Morning Cannolis, with Jim Santel at 9 o'clock.
And he brings enough cannolis for the entire class. Like,
man,
that guy,
every single word that he comes out of his mouth is informative and or educational.
It is. It's true. It's true. And so that's going to be a new fun show kicking off tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on the Shaw and here on Devil Radio. Some excellent programming notes for the listening audience. But if you want to join this show, share your tangent with us, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. You can join us all hour long. But Brian, got a number of headlines we want to get to, but I want to kick off the show with an update about what's going on in Keele, Wisconsin. We talked about it on yesterday's show because, as we alluded to then, it's a pretty big story, and I feel like it's not getting the attention that it deserves.
Which is funny because the whole reason it got to this point was national attention being put on it.
Right. So there's the right-wing echo chambers are paying attention to it.
Yes.
Because it's a culture war that was sought out and stoked by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And it got Newsmax, Fox News's hosts, and those personalities talking about it, but it... I feel like it was really going under the radar here in the state of Wisconsin. And unfortunately, Brian, the tactics that worked from Will taking the story national to those echo chambers, the bomb threats that were called in throughout the city, not just the schools, but it was the public library, the government buildings, businesses, streets, all throughout this city of less than 4,000 people in eastern Wisconsin. It worked. They were terrified enough of the bomb threats and these acts of what I would refer to as domestic terrorism, because that's what it was. They were threatening violence to get a means to an end of what they wanted. They wanted the end of the Title IX investigation. And last night at their meeting, because of the threats of violence coming from seemingly random individuals, the FBI has arrested one man, a California man, in relation to these calls. Of bomb threats, or however they're making them. I don't know exactly how the threats are being conveyed. But the school board in Keele last night decided to shut down the Title IX investigation because of the threats of violence.
And now, this isn't an FBI investigation. This isn't a criminal investigation. This is a Title IX investigation. This isn't... It's literally just an investigation. The authority is within the school district and pretty much about it.
Yeah, it's Title IX is a federal law that essentially requires schools to make sure that equality is being conducted in the school districts. It is what allowed girls' sports to be expanded, girls' and women's sports to be expanded. And it is it was a huge step forward for equality. And so three eighth graders decided that they, as far as we could tell, because again, like you alluded to in yesterday's show, Brian, Title IX investigations are kept pretty quiet. This is something that gets conducted. They thoroughly review the instances, and then they release the findings of the report once they're
because they're legitimate trained investigators. Objectivity and, you know, that type of thing and integrity are paramount to their reputation as investigators,
right.
Unlike the sham people like Michael Gableman, because these people will not be the press. The whole point, like my brother's a Title IX investigator, and I asked him, you know, flippantly, I'm like, at what point do they tell you how to deal with the press and what to do? And he's like, why would I do that? He wouldn't even talk to me. I'm his brother, and he won't come on my own show to talk about it because, for fear of even remotely relating anything to do with any case that has to do with him, to relay any sort of bias as far as he goes, as far as an investigator goes, because I know from things that he's told me, there have been instances where he, you know, the plaintiff was lying. There have been instances where the defendant was lying, and you never know what happens until you investigate. And my point is, by bringing all this up, is that somebody in the Title IX investigation team, one, the fact that you don't know any other facts about this case other than what those three boys have said, speaks volumes as to who released all the information, or any information at all. And the fact that we basically don't really know much beyond that there's a transgender student who had asked for a bathroom, as well as to be called by they, them pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's really out of bounds to ask. And if you don't agree with that lifestyle, please understand I'm taking that word back. It's if you don't agree with their who they are.
Who they identify as.
If you don't agree with any of that, that's okay. Don't talk to them. Go away. That's it.
Well,
just separate. Just stop being a bully about it. Regardless of how you feel, you should stop being a bully about it. But again, we don't only know that information about it.
Yeah, and we know that in this investigation that the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty stepped in and intervened as the lawyers for the three eighth grade boys that seemed to be the subjects of whether or not there was harassment going on in the Keele School District. And so the terrifying part of this, Brian, is that the threats worked. The strategy that Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty took to take this case public, that is a will, that is their decision to do. It was in their objective to take this and get the it's what they wanted. They wanted the culture war, and they're stoking the culture war. It's the same thing. They went and there is an ongoing litigation here in Dane County over the Madison Metropolitan School District in regards to the LGBTQ inclusion training that Madison staff goes through. And the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty identified, they went and found parents to sue the school district to get the information from that training. And they refuse to share with the Madison School District the parents that they're representing. So there is no evident, well, there is no way for the Madison School District to even know that the defense that they're trying to make is against parents and students that are even enrolled in the Madison School District, because they can't confirm that because they don't have the identity of those individuals. That case is before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. This is a repeated pattern that the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty does. And the ramifications of this case in Keele, Wisconsin, where the entire city, They canceled school. They canceled Memorial Day festivities around the weekend, and graduation is still delayed.
All because you couldn't just say, you go over there, you go over there, don't talk to each other for the rest of the school year, then you won't have to talk to each other all summer.
Because they didn't want a Title IX investigation to be able to qualify for they-them pronouns over what I would believe is a student that
Oh, because of a precedent that would be set.
Yes,
oh,
that's the thing.
They're worried about a precedent being set. Oh, okay.
So that's what Wisconsin Institute
that's
what, for
that's
Law
worth,
and Liberty
That's worth terrorizing an entire town of 4,000 people. Who most of them probably just said, oh, okay, great. Have a good day. See you.
I got to imagine the residents of Kiel have got to be fairly upset about this. I would.
Are you kidding me? They can't do anything. You think they're pissed off about masks? You now have to have the whole place shut down because Will and they need to make a bigger deal out of something that really just should have been. Could you just stop that? Thanks.
Yeah. So,
Wisconsin, nice, real good.
I want to read a little bit from a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Brian, because I think the quotes from the school district, the school board, are interesting. After the meeting in closed session at 4 p.m. Thursday, the board issued a statement via social media at around 9 p.m. announcing its decision. Quote, consistent with our board policies and procedures, we have issued clear directives and expectations to all students involved in this matter for the purpose of preventing bullying and harassment and ensuring a safe and supportive learning environment for all of our students, the letter said. However, in the statement, board members said the Kiel Area School District, quote, prohibits all forms of bullying and harassment in accordance with all laws, including Title IX, and would continue to support all students in federally protected classes, quote, consistent with board policy and the law. So it seems to be that Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty took on legal representation for the bullies, and in doing so, they ginned up an environment that led to 6 bomb threats on the city of Kiel in order to create a pressure through terrorism. Threatening violence to achieve a goal is terrorism.
And just so you know, if
and
you
that's
think
what the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is applauding.
If you think it's the people on the plaintiff's side that are blowing this up, I tried reaching out to the national group of Title IX investigators, the folks that train them in general, and the kind of a group together of them. And I don't even know if they have a press grouping. They have people who do marketing, but they don't really. I mean, they do press releases sometimes, but they don't really have anything to do with the press. But I do know that there's a really good chance that Will has Laura Ingraham on speed dial.
Oh, I would absolutely assume that.
Hey, Laura, I got some kids, white kids, who have been aggrieved by having to say pronouns.
That seems right up Will's alley to represent. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. It's a Friday. Taking your tangents, 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison and the Shaw 101.1 FM in Waukesha. And Brian, oh, wow, you nailed this one, my friends. This is a very good, very good tune to talk about the subject that we are going to dive into this segment. Taking your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789.
We finished up the show yesterday with this correct headline that we stole from Ready Whitey Talk Radio. You stole from them, but
They confirmed it for me because you sent it to me in commercial break as we were heading into our last segment yesterday afternoon, and it caught me off guard. You were.
It was a chain of events that all led to us knowing that Tim Michaels is going to lose his bid for governor because Donald Trump has officially endorsed him.
Well, and I would accurately describe this endorsement as a monkey wrench in the Wisconsin GOP's Republican primary.
Well, it's a big primary, and who's gonna shove himself into big things, and that's Donald Trump.
He's still two months out.
They have had supplicants go down there and kiss the floor and the hem of his robe. Or whatever long pants he has to go and pretend that he's bigger than he is.
And it turns out Tim Michaels did go down to Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, he did. Was it from Connecticut so we didn't trace it?
I don't know. I don't know exactly the flight path that he took. I don't know if Rojo was helping him use that private jet or...
Now, did he shave on board? He's like, all right, Michael's come down here, Michael. Michael, come here. Listen, Michael, come here. But you need to shave. You need to shave.
Think he kept calling him Michael, like confusing him that he didn't know what his.
I'm assuming that he did. This is, you know, again,
because we all thought that Trump's favorite Tim in Wisconsin was Timothy Rantham, because he was calling for election decertification and everything like that. And it begs the question, Brian.
Was Timothy Rantham too crazy for Trump, or was it because of the beard?
Well, who do you think is the biggest loser from this Trump endorsement?
Because Clayfish for sure. Clayfish for sure.
Hang on. So this endorsement came down on June 2nd, the day after the filing deadline in the state of Wisconsin for all the positions on the ballot this fall. Timothy Rantham announces candidacy and is entirely running on the Trump mantra of decertifying the 2020 election results and doing a complete full cyber forensic audit before the 2022 election even takes place.
All of which was done already. Anyway.
That's what he was running on for his bid to be the next governor of Wisconsin. And the day after, he could have dropped out and, you know, still filed paperwork to run in his state assembly off, like, same state assembly district. The former guy endorses somebody else in the primary. That's a pretty big loser aspect for Timothy Rantham.
No, you understand how this is looking at. Look at this from Trump's eyes. He doesn't have any idea who these people are, what the hell they're doing, other
I
than
disagree.
Coming down to kiss.
No, I
guarantee you, he looks at Tim Michaels and he looks at Timothy Rantham as the same person. Just one is more rural.
No. And the other one Nicholson is, and Tim Michaels are the same person.
No, they are not. Not in Trump's eyes. No, I see the Kevin Nicholson. He walked through a bunch of crowds really fast, and Trump is like, he's showing power. I can't have him.
He walked too fast down one ramp. That's all it took for Kevin Nicholson to not get the not be in the running for the endorsement from the former guy.
Plus, he also has to kind of, you know, back someone who has a chance.
But here's the question, because I feel like he's got to know who the candidates were in this race, because he was actively seeking somebody else out besides Rebecca Clayfish in his endorsement process.
That's why Tommy Thompson came down.
Right. Tommy Thompson went down there. He encouraged Sean Duffy, former House representative, U.S. Congressman from Northern
Wisconsin.
Which actually,
again, strengthens my... How great is it that my position, if I were to go and have to choose somebody of this field, that I would feel more comfortable with Becky Clayfish, who in fact said that can we marry dogs in reference to gay marriage, which completely and totally disgusts me and makes me want to throw up in my mouth saying this. But the fact that she doesn't have Donald Trump's endorsement and the fact that, you know.
But that's the other aspect, is maybe she is the biggest loser of this because she went so far right in this primary season so far, Brian, that she could have took. We've talked about it on this show and on other
she's
shows.
She's such an independent
station.
Woman that she hooked herself up to. Well, you know,
she could have took that lane.
And Walker.
Yeah, she Donald Walker.
Donald Walker. She hooked herself up to this Donald Walker guy, and I think she could have done a lot better if she just did her own thing and said this is what they did wrong and this is what I would do instead.
Right. She could have took the moderate conservative lane, but she went out and has said repeatedly crazy things trying to court the endorsement of the former president, and she did fail in that quest yesterday.
And you think she kind of went too far out on that limb at this point now that she can't really reel that back in?
I don't know if she can make the switch with only 2 months before the primary, but who knows? 2 months, that's still a
again,
decent
this,
amount
she,
of time.
She could also win. Now she doesn't have to worry about courting Donald Trump anymore, and Donald Trump's endorsement kind of has been sinking people. Like back in the time that she was looking for it, it wasn't really kind of a thing, but now it's, oh, wow, Donald Trump doesn't have the pull that he used to. He does
well,
not.
Well, yeah, it's
in
not
fact,
it's not
probably,
a surefire
like
thing.
I said, he's now going to lose. Congratulations, Tim Michaels.
Tim Michaels might be the biggest loser because, you know, it could be the kiss of death for the Michaels campaign. It was probably still pretty early to tell. The important thing is, Brian, I believe the middle of this month, we're going to be getting some... Oh, no, middle of next month, we'll be getting the Marquette Law School polling on state races. So it's still going to be a little time before. I think June is their national polling data. So we're going to see... I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see the next polling here in the state of Wisconsin. Now that A, Michaels is in the race, and B, he has received the endorsement from the former president.
Yeah, you can come down here. I'm just going to need you to shave in midair. And honestly, if you could just wear the suit more, that'd be great.
And Robin Voss picked up the best Big Mac for me. Just pick up whatever Big Mac Robin Voss picked up.
It's right near the airport. Don't worry, I have one in the microwave.
I can't do a good Trump voice.
I have a Big Bang Maker right here.
I can't do it. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. It's a monkey wrench thrown in the Republican gubernatorial primary here in the state of Wisconsin.
Michaels, as long as you don't talk about Oscar, who's this Oscar with his custard? I don't understand.
Taking your calls. 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
Culver's. All right, I like Culver's.
You did something right.
No way. I wanted it to go to my head.
Blinded by the light. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. Luke had asked for the Man song, so I played some Manfred Mann. We are being blinded by the light right now on, I'm over here in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. And you're listening to Luke over there in Madison in the Solidarity Realty Studios and 1580 AM WTTN as well as 92.7 FM Devil Radio. And if you want to go and drive around revved up like a deuce to the rumor in the night, you can listen to us on the Devil Radio app, which is pretty awesome as well.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 844-967-2789. It is revved up like a deuce.
On a Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And, give us a call, send us a text, join the conversation, share your tangent. Before we go into this next subject, Brian, that we're going to cover here, I do want to give a brief update. We've got some Gable Mess news.
There's more?
There's news.
Has his furniture been moved? Did he have his own special? Because I know, I got to tell you, I'm a large guy. I'm 300 pounds plus. A lot of things are rated only 250 pounds. I'd be reluctant to go and give back my specialty furniture, too.
Nope, that is not what the update is, Brian. The update, Brian, is we've got some dates now scheduled for the court cases that is we're waiting on. The whole reason the investigation... Oh, I gotta go put
you
a dollar.
Got yourself.
I gotta go put a dollar in the jar. The whole reason this probe is on delay right now, Brian, is because we're waiting on how the court cases are gonna resolve themselves. He took a half of his salary now is what he's being paid, and we're waiting on the courts. And a judge in Waukesha County has a hearing slated for August 30th. So, like.
Now,
a while, 2.5 months from now.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Before this investigation started a year ago, or whatever you want to call it, I'm sorry, I'm not going to put money in the swear jar. I don't have a jar. I'll just take the money.
I'm going to do it.
I'll take the money out later. It's fine. I'll put it in and go, screw it, that's stupid. It's fine.
It's not what it is. I refuse. I shouldn't use the I word.
Mostly because I'd feel like I'm being manipulated from Gableman by my own mind. In any case, where was I? My goodness. Now I've lost myself in the swear jar that is Gableman.
That's okay. But the separate judge that we're also waiting on, so that was the Waukesha circuit judge. Dane County circuit judge has now also set today a schedule that will allow briefing on the case going on here in Dane County Court through mid-September. So that's when they're just going to be hearing oral arguments, I believe, through. So there's still going to be some time after that for the judges to deliberate and then rule. So we could be looking at this Gableman mess going well into this fall. And as some have alluded to already, it could be going into 2023, well beyond this year's midterm elections.
This is what I wanted to get to and
yeah.
what I was saying.
See, that's why I took over. So
yeah, the Gableman investigation is reaching about $1 million, and that's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot of money to spend on nothing.
But not really, because you got to understand the scale of things. You know, if it was $1 billion, that'd be more than $1 million, because that's 1,000 million,
true.
Right? Would you think that eight times as much is a lot?
For $8 million?
Let's say $8 million. Would that be a lot of things to spend on, let's say, you know, failed litigation?
I would say the 676,000 that was originally slated was too much to spend on this. So
no,
yeah.
I know, but I'm just comparing the 8 million would be eight times worse, right?
Correct.
That's how much the Wisconsin GOP had spent previously before this litigation started, since 2018. 8.5 million on lawsuits against changes in election laws.
So they're totally fine, just spending the money trying to
taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. Well, that's Robin Voss for you, the fiscally responsible conservative that is totally fine lighting your money on fire, folks.
Yeah, but that's why they can't do things like try and save, you know, Wisconsin farms that are being lost at hundreds upon hundreds a year.
Can't help get PFAS chemicals out of the clean drinking water here in the state of Wisconsin, or hold the individuals and companies that are responsible for those pollutants being in there. They're not looking to hold them accountable. There's a number of things.
Heck, that can't even come into meat. I mean, they can afford to pay the people to come into meat, but they can't actually come into meat because
that would be too much.
I guess you're spending too much on litigation still. Whenever they cry poor about things, you know, about, you know, oh my goodness, for all these giveaway programs and all that stuff, 8.5 million since 2018, separate from the Gableman investigation.
Oh, so that'll be 9.5 million then, or even more. Maybe they'll hit 10 million.
You know what? We can even just keep the cash register going. Let's just keep it pumping, you know, because that's what they do. That's what they're really good at. And that's, again, you got to stick in your wheelhouse. You know, blowing up deficits and, you know, creating BS money to flow through. Because, again, the whole point is to have as many revenue streams as possible. Because, again, when half of your organization is built on trying to launder money from different organizations to other different organizations and not actually producing any product or anything like that, just I'm an organization to go and help this other organization that's a shadow company from this organization to go and help move political dollars so that we can all somehow, this entire stupid organization that funnels money through other organizations is somehow more economical to buy a senator that way than it is to actually have common sense anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of runaround for how this system works, Brian. But, you know, let's move on from this chump change conversation of just a few million dollars being
just
wasted.
A couple million dollars being wasted, because it's nothing compared to what's being thrown into the races this year.
Right, because as you alluded to, this giant system of money circulating through it just to probably end up in a lot of situations where not a whole lot changes, Brian. We'll see what happens this fall. But we've got both the chairs of the state parties. So both the
I found this amusing.
It is pretty amusing, but the Republican Party chair and the Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin sat down with Wispolitics at a luncheon earlier this week, Brian, and they alluded to...
Gotta love those luncheons.
They threw a ballpark number out there of $700 million is what GOP chair Paul Farrell believes is going to be spent this election cycle in the state of Wisconsin. $700 million.
Mm-hmm.
And Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler said, yeah, that's probably a number that could get hit. That is not an unreasonable number to believe. And so now
set the stage for this. Previously, beforehand, they were arguing over why people don't have faith in the elections, kind of vehemently about, you know, what narrative they're going to go with as to why people don't have faith in the elections. And then directly after that, this is the most amazing part, they talked about the $700 million being thrown into the Wisconsin elections this fall, and both of them just went, oh, yeah, yeah, that's great. They both turned and smiled and just went, oh, yeah, 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 $700 million?
Yes, $700 million.
We were talking about comparing a million to a billion, and that's way closer to a billion.
It is. That would be about 70 times that 100 million that Republicans are getting close on.
What's the surplus that we have here? What's that?
3.8 billion with a B.
Okay.
So
they're spending like almost like a little bit less than a fifth of their
right about a fifth
of the surplus.
Just
of Wisconsin,
yeah.
And they're just throwing it around to go and throw ads on the air and get you folks to go and decide one way or another.
Pay consultants, send out mailers that will probably end up in the trash.
You throw this out.
$700 million. This is just baffling to me. But hang on. But let's, before we get into that point and talk about that a little bit more, let's talk about, like you alluded to, the first part of the conversation that both party chairs had with Wispolitics, because there's a little blame game going around, Brian, about why there's so much distrust in elections. Maybe that nobody, neither of the chairs said, hey, it's because $700 million are being spent on the elections, potentially. That wasn't the root cause of why there was some distrust in the elections. But the two parties differ on their believed cause of distrust. And so reading from this piece over at wispolitics.com. Republican Party of Wisconsin Chair Paul Farrow blames the Wisconsin Elections Commission for a lack of trust in elections, while State Dem Party Chair Ben Wickler argues former President Trump's, quote, propaganda campaign is at fault. So, Brian, do you think that it's the Wisconsin Elections Commission, or do you think that it's the propaganda campaign from the former president?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I really think that it's a legislature for leaving it alone and not doing anything.
I feel like there's a lot of other root causes that could have been thrown in here, and it's interesting
and
that those are the two.
The fact that it costs hundreds of millions of dollars to even think about running, so even if you are a person who really does have passionate and good ideas, unless you have millions of dollars of your own to spend or are willing to trust some sort of consultant to go and have them go and tell you how to spend the millions of dollars they have to raise for you, or you feel obligated to them to go and listen to them as well, because not all of them have great track records. But again, in politics, having a great track record doesn't mean you're not necessarily good or bad. They can tell you anything they want, their consultants.
No, I asked Paul Manafort about that.
Uh-huh. He didn't even get paid.
No, and he got paid in
oh, he got paid
rugs,
else,
didn't he?
He got paid in rugs. He got paid otherwise.
Yes. But, Brian, I think it's interesting, the fact that, you know, the stance is that it's the Wisconsin Elections Commission's fault. That I just find it interesting that that's what party chair Paul Farrow has to say for the Republican side, because recall, in 2020, when, like you mentioned, no guidance from the Wisconsin State Legislature, they were MIA. We did not get any state guidance from them. The Wisconsin Elections Commission approved unanimously, 6-0, provisions on how to run absentee ballot voting in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. And apparently that's what caused the distrust. A 6-0 unanimous vote is apparently the source of distrust, according to the
Clearly.
Republican Party chair.
Clearly.
I'm not going to say that it's, you know, necessarily all propaganda machine, but I think you're right. I think there's a number of different issues, but I don't think it's the Wisconsin Elections Commission's fault.
Let's say you or I wanted to run. We'd have to pretty much align with the Democratic or Republican Party, one of us, because otherwise we're not going to have enough funding. If we fund ourselves otherwise, we're going to get beat up, thrown out. Try and run a campaign on your own. I've known some people who've tried to do that. I've known some people who've tried to run campaigns on skeleton crews. It does not work very well. The way things are run, it's really hard to win if you don't have a bunch of money. Now, I was thinking about this today. If you were to do it, the real way to actually do it, I'd say go organize something that's charitable and wonderful. Like, go rebuild the high school gym if it needs it done. And I want you to film it the entire time you do it so people can see your leadership skills while you're doing it and your hands-on work. Have somebody follow you with a phone and film the whole thing. Show how much of an organizer you are. Have that goal come in over budget and on time or beforehand.
Under budget.
Under budget. Exactly. You know what I'm saying. My point is get it done and show that you got the small job done, and then do the next thing, and then do the next thing, and then go run for school board, and then the next year go run for something else, and build some sort of viral movement. Unless you have something like, if you remember, I think it was Charlemagne the God. I could be completely wrong, but I feel like there's a story about Charlemagne the God who went up to TV executives and said, hey, I think you should give me a TV show. And they're like, who the hell are you? And he's like, I'm going to bring 10 million viewers because I have 10 million followers on Insta. And they're like, oh, that's who you are. Yeah, we'd like 10 million viewers. Come on with us. That's the kind of thing that's going to need, like, if you're going to do something without a whole bunch of money, if you're going to go and make something happen, you're going to have to actually, I don't know, really do something and then make it filmed and then promote the hell out of it on socials.
Or Or you can move back to Wisconsin from Connecticut and then get the endorsement from a former president. And that's your path to victory. Who knows? Maybe.
Who knows? You know what? You too could make something of yourself when you've been given nothing besides just a company that's already functioning. And you could be a self-made person that from Wisconsin that's from Connecticut.
Inheritance.
And again, no wonder Donald Trump endorsed Tim Michaels.
Oh, it makes a little bit of sense when you look at it from that light. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left in the day. Give us a call.
Do you hate your daddy? I hate my daddy too. Yeah.
The Double Deuce.
Is this what you were looking for? You wanted the man song, right? The song about the man?
Uh-huh.
This is the man that's from the Silver Mountain Man.
No, I wanted When the Man Comes Around. Come on. Little Johnny Cash. No? All right.
Oh, well, you know.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke.
You already set me off on one.
I did, yeah. We go off on a little tangent there.
So, when I last time I went karaoke,
yeah,
I don't really sing well as myself. I sing well trying to pretend like I'm other people because for whatever reason, it works better that way.
You got to do an impersonation and then use that impersonation.
Or it might be that my vocal cords seem to work better when that happens. I don't know. I don't know. But I did my entire thing. I would karaoke Madonna songs as if I were Johnny Cash.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a nice little bit.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear that one day.
La Isla Bonita. Tropical, the island breeze. Yeah, it's great. It's pretty cool. It's
folks,
fun.
Folks, you're listening to that takes, sweet serenading baritone.
The 30, 40 seconds in, it's funny, and then you go, I've got 2 minutes left, and I've already committed. Oh, no.
But you're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison. I'm holding down the fort in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Brian's broadcasting live from the Waukesha Studios for the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM out of Waukesha. Got a couple minutes left here in today's show. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. But Brian, you know, you want to know who the man was in Milwaukee last night?
Who?
It was gorgeous. You can't not be romantic about baseball. Andrew McCutchen getting that walk-off single to
good for Kutch.
Complete the four-run rally by the Brewers in the bottom of the ninth. I was driving home. I was at the bar. I was watching. And it was top of the ninth, 4-1, and I was like, well, I got to hit the road. I got to head home. And then I get home later,
dude,
and I look at the ESPN update, and the Brewers won. And I was like, what?
Next thing you know, Kirk Gibson's pumping his fist and running around. You got the and you're one of the taillights in the background while Kirk Gibson's making history.
I wasn't at the game. I wasn't physically at the game. I'm going to the game on Sunday.
No, that's fine.
I will see
fine.
The end of the series
that's
on
good.
Sunday.
Give up. That's fine. Give up on your team that you so care about.
I needed
about
to get
so
home. It was done. I was, that's fine. I was done. That's but Brian, fun. You want to talk sports, so let's talk.
I
about sports.
I do. I want to palate cleanse here with a little bit of sports here. I play. You play fantasy football. I play fantasy baseball.
Yes.
Would you punch someone in the face or slap them because of a fantasy league?
As I was so upset with them, or is this part of the end of the league year punishment?
Well, what if basically, I basically former Cub Jock Peterson got slapped.
Really?
By Tommy Pham.
Okay.
Because
in fantasy league?
For breaking some rules of the fantasy league, and the problem was is that Mike Trout was the commissioner, and he's a horrible commissioner and didn't step in. And they've slandered Mike Trout. This is a high-stakes league, too. Think about the money that these guys are throwing around. Jock Peterson has signed for a couple sweet deals the last couple years. And
this is fantasy baseball?
Fantasy, no.
Okay, so these are baseballer players playing fantasy football.
Football, I believe.
Okay. Interesting. Well, see, I have a long-term committed fantasy football league. There's there's like a constitution essentially to the league, and there's a lot of bylaws in there. And so
we have an email chain instead. It works just the same. I think it's just as valid as the Declaration of Independence.
My buddy has like this entire website dedicated. Like there's archives of the league years each year, and it's pretty intense. And it's not necessarily high stakes like that, but it's the highest stakes league that I participate in.
Yeah.
And everybody takes it pretty seriously. And if there was something, if there was bylaws in there that your punishment for breaking some of the rules established by the league was to get slapped or hit
the face.
That's
the thing is, I'm wondering.
I don't know then.
Because outwardly, they're presenting it like, no, really, I got upset about it, and that's why I slapped him. But I think they're playing it off because if it was.
Like the punishment states that you have to receive a black eye if you break this rule. Like,
I don't know.
It would be interesting.
That'd be interesting. Now, I haven't thought about it that way.
Yeah.
But I guess that's interesting enough. One, that happens. And you've heard a bunch of gambling stories from,
the Calvin Ridley one is my favorite because it's almost a palate cleanser on my timelines every now and then because Calvin Ridley is suspended. Falcons wide receiver, Atlanta Falcons wide receiver, suspended for the whole upcoming year, Brian, because of allegations that he was making bets and wagers on the games that he was potentially participating in.
That's where I'm going.
So he got suspended for the entire year. And now, occasionally on my feed, you just see a random video of a route that Calvin Ridley was running after he caught the football, and he's like about to make a breakaway for a touchdown and just reverses course and runs right back into a defender and is tackled then rather than touchdown. And so you can see him it's every couple days I get a video like that because people are going now and looking at all the footage from all the games and sharing that out saying, oh yeah, this guy was definitely in deep with sports books.
Think about this. A reputable source from a station I listen to all the time, reputable source out there, posited that in the next couple of years, you're going to find out that actual NFL players are part of a high stakes, like Michael Jordan level high stakes, actual NFL fantasy football league.
Well,
so the players in the league have
their own league
and have their own league of themselves.
Yeah.
In their own fantasy league.
Yeah.
Go down.
It's been joked about on the perimeters. Like,
it's been talked enough that, legitimate reporters have said you're going to find out in the next couple of years that has happened.
Yes.
And I would not be surprised.
No, I don't think I'd be surprised either. But imagine what the coaches are doing in the NFL, though, Brian. We got reports that...
What do you think they're hiding in the John Gruden emails?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not all racism.
The Miami Dolphins head coach or owner was telling the head coach then to tank games, and he was going to pay him $100,000 to tank a game.
Yes.
And at the same time, the lead sponsor for the arena down in Miami, or one of the prime, I don't know if they...
DraftKings?
No, it's a different gamble. It's a sports betting...
Are they on the Bally's Network?
I don't know.
Because the Brewers are on the Bally's Network.
They are.
But you know what? Let's ban Pete Rose for gambling. Oh, by the way, we're partnering with every single sports
book. Caesar Sportsbooks is now your official sponsor to all of these statistics that we're going to give you.
Dude, in the middle of NFL games, you have, J.B. Smoove talking about Caesar's Palace all the time.
Yeah.
The sports books are becoming regular things. One of the largest Wi-Fi pings in the entire nation is Fort Lee, New Jersey. And a pizzeria there. Do you know why? Because you can cross over state lines and put in sports books, sports gambling. You
from
can
New
put
York.
In bets.
Yeah.
From New York, you can go over and ping because you ping in New Jersey. And this guy's one Wi-Fi station at this pizzeria has made his pizzeria the most popular place in all of New Jersey.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the most pinged Wi-Fi towers in cell towers in all of the country.
It's a nice little palate cleanser heading
into
the weekend.
And the NFL and Major League Baseball are partnering with it. Wrigley Field is putting a sports book attached to it. And then they're going to go and complain that the players are gambling. And don't get me started on the NBA. My goodness, Kings and Lakers.
We just had
0-2.
The 20th anniversary. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We'll catch you next week.